It is time now to continue with American history, real American history. Not that garbage pushed around on social media or the woke crowd, but instead the real thing with our friends from Hillsdale College. Hillsdale offers a variety of series on American history free of charge. All you have to do is sign up. I'll explain all of that in just a moment. But first, today's lesson is from the Constitution 101. And this week's highlight is very timely indeed, with everything going on in the headlines. The subject, what the founders did about slavery. Here's Kevin Porteous.
The founders understood that slavery was wrong on principle, that it's by definition an injustice, and they understood it as such. Hamilton and Madison both referred to slaves as men. This is a critical insight, because if slaves are men, if slaves are human beings, then that means that they have inalienable natural rights. And that means that slavery can only rest on the basis of positive law, that it's by definition an injustice, and they understood it as such. Thomas Jefferson, in one of the most famous statements on slavery to come out of the American founding, Query 18, in Notes on the State of Virginia, explains that slavery is at war with human nature and with justice. He says it's bad for slaves because it teaches them to hate their country and it teaches them to lack self-assertion. But it's also bad for masters. It teaches masters to become tyrants. It warps them. It teaches them to have contempt for the rights of other human beings. And once they learn to have contempt for the rights of their slaves, they then transfer that and learn to have contempt for the rights of others who are not slaves. Finally, it's bad for society. It's bad for the country as a whole. Jefferson says that we are so wrong on the question of slavery that it is certain that God will punish us if we don't get it right. In fact, he says if it ever came down to a contest between slaves and masters over the future of the country, Jefferson says, quote, "The Almighty has no attribute which can take side with us in such a contest," end quote. So, in short, we can see pretty quickly that the Founding Fathers understood that they had a colossal problem on their hands, that slavery was a massive injustice, and they understood it as such. What did the founders do about slavery? Because again, to say that they did not end slavery altogether is not the same as saying that they did nothing about it. For instance, during the founding and early American period, 9 states became free states. All of the states, the original states, north of Maryland, so from Pennsylvania northward, became free states, abolished slavery in one way or another. Slave states eased their manumission laws, and a manumission is simply an individual act of emancipation where an individual owner frees an individual slave. So it was made easier to free one's slaves in the southern states that retained slavery, and as a result, thousands of slaves were manumitted. Now, this does not end the institution of slavery altogether, but it is certainly important to you if you are one of those thousands who was manumitted during this period. We also see instances of southern courts favoring the claims of slaves who were suing for their freedom. In fact, this is how the Dred Scott case got its start in the Missouri state courts. In ruling against Dred Scott in 1850, the Missouri Supreme Court admitted that if Dred Scott's case had come before the court, say, 10 years earlier, they most certainly would have freed him. But times had changed, and so they were no longer honoring the friendly agreement that they had with free states to respect the laws of those states because of the intensification of the slavery controversy. There were also reforms in the slave states that tended to recognize the humanity of slaves. By the beginning of the 19th century, North Carolina had reformed its laws so that killing a slave carried the same penalty as killing a free person. It was still hard to obtain a conviction, but at least this is a recognition that a slave is in fact a human being and not an article of livestock. There was the abolition of the slave trade, which was legally abolished in 1807, and the abolition took effect in 1808. Later on, the slave trade was declared to be piracy, making it a death penalty offense. This was a law which was extremely hard to enforce in the age of sail, but at least you have a declaration of a commitment to end this inhumane practice. If one looks to the Constitution itself, one notices that Constitution, including the provisions that deal directly with slavery, is the word slave in any variation. Madison, Frederick Douglass, Abraham Lincoln all came to the same conclusion about why this was the case. They did not want to taint the document with any implication that slavery existed, so that if someone came along in the future without any particular knowledge of our history or politics, they could not read the original Constitution and know that slavery had been a part of it. If one turns to the particular provisions in the Constitution that deal with slavery, we also can see ambiguities and compromises that reflect the founders' desire to see slavery gradually removed from our society. The importation clause in Article 1, Section 9 was looked upon by many people as a death sentence for slavery. It was widely believed at the time that slave populations could not be self-sustaining, that only continual importation would allow slavery to survive in a particular community. And so many people, such as James Wilson, believed that cutting off the slave trade killed slavery itself. And that proved to be largely true in many places, except in America. In America, the slave population, contrary to expectations, proved to be self-supporting. Finally, if one is looking at what the founders did about slavery, perhaps the most important thing that they did about slavery was to pass a piece of legislation called the Northwest Ordinance. So the Northwest Territory was the full area in which the federal government could control slavery, and the Northwest Ordinance banned it in perpetuity, and it was passed by a large margin in Congress both times under both forms of government. And this was significant in a number of ways. Indiana, when it petitioned for statehood, asked for the right to be exempt from the Northwest Ordinance. Now, one does not ask for that exemption if one wants to be a free state. And the federal government told them that they were not exempted. They could remain free under the Northwest Ordinance, or they could become a free state. So it certainly made one state that might have been a slave state into a free state. It provided, when we got to the Civil War, an enormous amount of manpower and material resources for the Union war effort. And finally, the language of the slavery prohibition in the Northwest Ordinance became the basis for the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, outlawing slavery nationwide by constitutional amendment.
So good, aren't they? I mean, they are so good. Hillsdale College, absolutely amazing. So the founders laid the framework for freedom and equality for all. They believe the idea that natural rights arise from the principle of equality because all men are born free and equal. Human beings have a natural right to liberty, paving the way through our founding documents for a free and equal society for all. Now, all you have to do to sign up for free access to these videos, so many of them, so good. GruberForHillsdale.com. GruberForHillsdale.com. You can share them with your friends, your family, kids and grandkids. Or you can just watch them for yourself because they are so educational and so well done. Again, free. Free. GruberForHillsdale.com. Go sign up and tell your friends. Quick break, and then Congressman Tim Walberg coming. We'll be right back.
Governor Whitmer wants Line 5 shut down, with no plan to replace the essential energy it delivers. That means a shortage of millions of gallons of fuel every day. It's vital energy that heats homes, fuels transportation, and drives our industries. If Line 5 shuts down, struggling Michigan families and small businesses will face higher energy costs. If Line 5 shuts down, then what? Take action at Enbridge.com/supportline5.
It's time for you to hear the truth. It's time for American history to be told straight, because American history is at a crisis point. Join me and Hillsdale College in the great American story, A Land of Hope. It's Hillsdale's new free online course, and it explores the history of America and her greatest triumphs and achievements as well as our shortcomings and our failures. The free online course is an unbiased study of American patriotism. Join me at GruberForHillsdale.com. GruberForHillsdale.com.
Pure Michigan water has never been more important than it is today. You can find your Pure Michigan water experts at Wolverine Water. Wolverine Water has been installing Michigan-made products for almost 75 years now. Hometown products and hometown service provided by your friends and neighbors at Wolverine Water since 1947. How about that for a cool drink of water? Wolverine Water. I've been a customer for over 20 years, too. If you're ready for the very best, you're ready for Wolverine Water. WolverineWaterSystems.com.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
We represent the bakers, auto repair shops, manufacturers, small business owners. Our job is to help businesses succeed by giving them a voice against restrictive regulations and overreaching government. Our commitment is to create and promote good public policy that will restore a strong, healthy economy. Our focus is being your champion for free enterprise. We are the Michigan Chamber, and we stand ready to fight for Michigan.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.